I want to inspire people to try to like hustle, to do more, rise up, and like be better today than they were yesterday. It stops and it turns straight to me. It starts running. So I stand up and hey bear. And at this point, he's about 20 yards, 25 yards away. Do that every night for freaking 2 months before you come on that hunt. And at the end of that 2 months, you'd be surprised how long you can hold solid on that dot. The mountain looks super scary and hard to climb when you're at the bottom looking at the top, but it's not so bad if you pick a rock and then you go to that rock and you pick another rock and you go to that rock and you just walk your way up. This is Caleb Stillions, and this is the Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
You and I and everybody listening to this owns 640 million acres.
I think he killed more deer drinking his coffee, smoking a cigarette in the pickup truck than I did spending all that time freezing my butt off.
Something that I would hope is that people realize that those are wild animals and they have savage natures.
I look forward to packing animals out. I look forward to that pain of success.
Doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter where you live. I've said it before, and you know what? I'll say it again louder for the people in the back. Your present circumstance should not limit your passions.
This is Jay Scott of the Jay Scott Outdoors Podcast.
Hey, this is Ryan Callahan.
Hi, this is Jules McQueen.
Hey, everybody. Jason Carter here with Epic Outdoors.
Hey, guys. This is Tim Burnett with Solo Hunter.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative, brought to you as part of the Waypoint Podcast Network. All right, y'all, so hopping right in today's episode, came down to Vegas for a SHOT Show, and, you know, SEI happens to be going on at the same time, and kind of through a long coincidence of the running into people, I ended up at Vegas Forge doing a little bit of forging. I got a chance to meet Caleb Stillions. Caleb, thanks so much for hopping on and joining me.
No, thank you for having me. I'm kind of excited for this. I wasn't expecting it, so I'm ready to go.
Hell yeah, man. It's, you know, we're hanging out in the hotel bar right now, so y'all probably hear a little bit of casino action, a little bit of TV, the occasional soundtrack going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the occasional ordering of an extra drink, so.
Heck yeah. Definitely.
But man, so I'd love it if you could just kind of give a little bit of an introduction about yourself, you know, who you are, but more importantly, how did you get started into hunting? Like, what developed your passion for hunting?
Okay, so I can't even say where it came from because no one in my immediate family hunts, like, at all. I never grew up going out with anybody. But my dad had this gun rack in his room, and all he had on it was, like, this little air rifle that didn't even work. Well, I talked my mom and dad into buying me one of those little toy bow and arrows, the ones with the blue suction cups on it. And I remember at age freaking 3-4 years old, I would go running downstairs because the room was in the basement. Jump, do a somersault on the waterbed, and flip up and go, kapom, 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 at this little gun rack that had a picture of this buck. It was a 5x5. And I remember just doing that over and over and over. But I never started hunting until, this was up in Alaska when this was happening.
So then, you're originally from Alaska then?
Kind of. So it's a complicated, it's so 0 to 2, Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
2 to age 8. Alaska, Glen Allen, that's a tiny little town. And then from 8 to like 18, Secaucie, Missouri, it's a small little town by Joplin. And then from there I went, that's kind of where the whole Alaska story started from there. So I go out, I shot competitive archery when I was a kid in NASP, NASP program. And yeah, and I was fortunate, I did really well. I won state both 2 years, did really well at nationals and went to the world tournament. And then me and another kid tied for fourth. We shot a 299 out of 300. We had a shoot-off, tied again, shoot-off, tied again. Third was a sudden arrow shoot-off, and we shot. And he had me by like an eighth of an inch, and it ate me up inside until the following day when they did the reloads ceremony. And it turned out his grandma just passed away like 4 days before that, and it was like, go to the memorial or go shoot. And so he came and shot and beat me, so it made it a little bit easier to swallow.
It's a little bit easier to accept that, to like give the guy some grace because his grandma just died.
I'm happy that he beat me. But anyways, how that launched me into how that got me into hunting is I went to college to a college out in Tennessee. The assistant archery coach had a daughter that moved to Alaska and married an outfitter, and that kind of opened the whole door to go work for free for a year to get my guide's license, and then the rest is history.
So you are a guide up in Alaska then?
Yes, sir.
And so what does that consist of? Because I know Alaska's got, as far as like if I wanted to go up and hunt Alaska, you know, if I wanted to go have a brown bear hunt, whatever that was, I know for a fact I need a guide.
Yep.
So what else does guiding up there consist of?
So say you wanted to go hunt a brown bear, you could call me up and I could give a recommendation on what outfitter I'd recommend to go with. From there, you could request the outfitter to have me as a guide, and then that's when the whole process starts. You're going to have to do a contract of said outfitter. You're going to have to go through all the legal paperwork, mm-hmm. and then from there, you'll have your hunt date, and then you show up to whatever the designated location is at said time, and then that's when your hunt begins. They'll move you out to the field. Most of what I do is heavily for aviation, so you get moved around, and most of the planes we use are Super Cubs or Cessna 185, but what usually drops you off to your hunting spot is a Super Cub on tundra tiles.
Okay, so I mean, and now there's regulations in Alaska as far as like, if I remember correctly, from the amount of Meat Eater I've watched, you're not allowed to hunt the same day you fly.
No.
Is that correct?
No, not at all, except for Sitka Blacktail. So that's one that they waive for whatever reason. Not sure why. I haven't really read into that. But everything else, you cannot fly and hunt the same day. You have to wait to the follow physical day at like 3 a.m. Because why at 3 a.m. is because in the summertime, like August up north, it's only dusk for like a couple hours. So they put that rule in place. So if you fly in at 11:55, park your plane, you can't shoot a sheep at 12:01. You have to wait till, I believe it's 3 a.m. Fact check me on that, but that's always it's 3 a.m. to 2 a.m. in that ballpark.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes a lot of sense. You know, they're trying to avoid people effectively scouting with their planes and just flying in, landing, plugging something, and then taking off again, right?
Yep. They're trying to keep the sport and the ethic in with it as much as they can.
No, for sure. So what do you guide for just about everything up there, or is there some specific you prefer?
A good amount. So I really don't guide for muskox, and I don't specifically guide for wolf. I've done a lot of guiding for moose. I've done a lot of guiding for brown bear, dall sheep, mountain goat, black bear, grizzly. And if you see a wolf, then you shoot it. That's just how you hunt a wolf. It's like you never know when they're going to come through. They just kind of
You just happen to see one while you're glassing for a brown bear or for a moose or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, but they're cruising through. So that's mainly what I guide for. My favorite, I really like the dall sheep, and on the same token, I really like the brown bear. I like the dall sheep as the hunt, as a package, because it's fun from start to finish. Brown bear, it can be really slow at times for days and days at a time, but the stalk and then the harvest of the animal is like your heart is bumping through your chest.
I can't imagine there, you know, I think we were talking about it earlier. I had a guest on, Tana Grenda, and she has like just the most harrowing black bear story, and I need to send it to you. But like, I don't imagine there's a lot of things that are more heart racing, more butt puckering than that moment, like when you're about to take a shot on that black bear. Have you guided mostly just rifle, or have you guided some archery hunters on black bear as well?
There's a mix.
Or the brown bear, I should say.
Yeah, there's a mix, but mainly rifle. You have some guys come up with bow, but the majority of it's rifle, so it's kind of all in between. Now, I've had a lot of like close encounters with bears with both rifle and bow, so it's just kind of typically you're going to get in close no matter what.
See, I love this because anybody that's been listening to the podcast for any amount of time knows that my dream hunt, like my bucket list hunt that I want to do, I mean, I want to do an Alaskan brown bear hunt regardless, rifle or bow, but like harvesting a brown bear with my bow, that to me is like the epitome of being man. Like that's like some caveman back to your ancestors shit right there. I mean, admittedly, like I'm not going to take a trad bow out there. if I use it, it's going to be a compound bow with a gnarly broadhead. But still, like, because that was for me one of the first things when I first started getting interested in hunting. I was looking at the regs. Because I think my brother had invited me out dove hunting. That was something he did every year. And so I was gonna looking at the regs, thinking about going out with him, and I was just reading through, and I was like, archery bear season? Like, and you know, this was California at the time, and so they're talking, you know, brown bear or black bears. And at the time, I also didn't really realize that black bears were about the size of a large Labrador.
Depending. You can get some hefty ones
for sure, but yeah. I just remember thinking, like, seeing those regs and thinking to myself, like, holy shit, man. Like, that's about as cool as it gets. Like, that's about as, like, man, as it happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you shoot one, a brown bear or grizzly, it's a gut-wrenching moment because typically, not always, but typically, when that arrow or bullet impacts the animal, it will spin around and let out a guttural growl, like super loud though, and it'll spin and it'll bite to what just impacted it, where it went into. So it's like if you're close with the bow and that happens, you like, as a guide, you with your gun ready if it comes after you for whatever reason, it puts two and two together and sees where you are at, and it comes to charge you, and it's like dump it where it stands, or as it's running, not where it stands. It's come, they run so freaking fast, so you're just right there and you're like, because you don't want to shoot it if you don't have to, because then it's gonna, if it's like a big bear, then it takes it out of Pope and Young. So it's you try not to shoot it, try not to shoot it. But if it does come at you, it's like out of Pope and Young or dead, I'm going to pick out of Pope and Young any day of the week. So
do you normally, like when you're guiding for a brown bear, is, you know, you've got the outfitters out there. Do they send guys with that, or is it just typically you and the hunter?
Me and the hunter, typically. Since I started the hunting show, that's had a whole new dynamic of having a cameraman with it. But it's you the guy that's responsible for everything once you get out in the field. It's like the pilot drops you and the client off. It's on you. The client could have no idea, or he could be really handy. But regardless, it's on you to make sure everything goes smoothly and no one gets hurt. So that's what the funny thing is, like, that's your primary job as a guide, is like, I gotta make sure a glorified babysitter, let's call it, is like everyone is okay at the end of this hunt. No one needs to get hurt, no one needs to die. That's my number one objective. Secondary is, let's find the biggest animal, the most mature animal out here, and let's kill it.
So you mentioned a TV show.
Yeah. So it's right now it's on YouTube. We're working on getting it on Waypoint, though. So that's ironic that you said you're at the Waypoint Network.
Well, I may have to call up the guys and make sure to connect you if you need any help. So tell me a little about a bit about the TV show then.
Yeah, so what was going on is that I've been doing this for about 5 years now, roughly. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. I need to share this with other people. I want to inspire people to try to, like, hustle, to do more, rise up. Rise up's the name of it. And, like, be better today than they were yesterday. So I started to try to do the whole self-filming thing for a while. But whenever the coolest stuff was happening, my hand was either on my gun or driving the boat or trying to, like, make, like, oh, crap, I'm holding on to this old shit handle and the Super Cub. Hopefully we don't die in wreck type of a deal. So, you're like, you're, like, in the zone. You're not thinking about, like, okay, I'm going to film this.
This is a great time to turn on my GoPro.
Oh, yeah, let's click this while this bear is trying to, like, run at me. It's like, no. Actually, funny story, I'll circle back to it. I had a bear charge me and try to get me, and I was able to get some of it on phone, like my phone, why this is happening. But I'll circle back to that. So the side of the Ohio cameraman, and I start to film some of these hunts so I can start to share them with people. And it's we've been very fortunate, and it's grown fast, so that's been a lot of fun. It's been a roller coaster, but it's been a good one.
Nice, man. So how many, I guess, episodes do you have released? Do you know?
Yeah, so we have 6 out. The next season's going to kick off the 27th of this month of January. So I think we're going to have like 6 to 8, depending on how all the edits end up lining up
Nice.
Second season. So,
and are they? Is it pretty much each episode's like an individual hunt, or is it?
Yeah, so the each episode's an individual hunt. Depending on what happens with Waypoint, how we decide to structure it. Right now, it's like, okay, we can, because the episodes are, the first episode of season 2 is going to be like 50 minutes. Some of them are 30 minutes, and some of them are down to 15. So however we decide to structure that, there could be some two-parters, especially with that 50-minute long one, because I think Waypoint's wanting it to be around 22 minutes due to, like, timing and commercials and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, but, no, there's the first one's a grizzly bear, grizzly bear, black bear, grizzly bear, moose, sickle blacktail for season 1.
Nice. So do you have like a favorite to guide? Like, is there a certain animal that's like, you're like, I love guiding for?
It's the doll sheep, and it's the brown bear.
Oh, yeah, I think you already told me the doll sheep. Yeah,
it's like, because the doll sheep is so majestic, and it's a tough hunt. So it's like you got to stay mentally squared away. It's like, okay, I got to, because you got to figure out the client. So, like, you're looking at this guy, and he's not in the same shape as you. A, you got to realize that. B, you have to realize that it's his hunt, not your hunt. So you got to make sure that he's having a good time and he's enjoying the experience. You're not pushing him too hard, or you're not letting him slack too much, because then he won't get anything. So it's like this dynamic. And if you're going up a mountain and it really, really sucks, you have to figure that, because it sucks from the beginning. Like, you have to know, okay, here's, now let's go up. And like, if a guy's not in shape, it's going to really start to burn. The lactic acid is going to come in super quick. And I got to decide really quick, do I need to be a cheerleader, or do I need the guy to be the coach that cusses him out? So it's like, because some guys, if I, you know, I'm the coach and I like, hey, quit being a blank, 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 he's going to shut down and that's going to end the hunt. Well, there's some guys where it's like, if I say blank, 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 it's going to click in and they're going to get mad, but not mad at me, mad that they like, hey, yeah, he's right, let's not be a sis, let's keep going. And if I, some guys, the guys that gets mad and shuts off, well, then I got to turn into like the pom-pom cheerleader.
Yeah.
That's what I call
it.
You
can do it.
You got this.
So it's real fun. So that's why I like that in the mountain goat. The mountain goat comes in second behind the doll sheep, because the doll sheep is just so majestic when you're looking at it through its spot and scope, and it lifts its head and it's got this full core, big bases. Well, like a big billy is from 9 to 10 inches. Mm-hmm. And if you get above 10, you're talking about a monster. Well, a ram, you look, different story. More mass.
I was going to say, there's definitely like a big distinction when it comes to a big ram. And the rams are always one of those things that I always thought was weird, because I'm assuming it's probably the same Alaska as it is other places. You have to have a certain amount of curl for it to be a legal ram, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I always thought,
limit.
Yeah. I always thought that was kind of interesting, because it's, to a certain extent, like, unless it's really, really obvious, like, it's almost kind of a guessing game. Like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, you would be a lot better at it than I would, for example, but, like, it's almost like a guessing game with rams, isn't it?
You can't guess. Don't guess, because guessing is going to get you in trouble and could get your guide's license taken away. Yeah. So it's like, so there's two ways. A, it's full core to be legal, or B, it's 8 years old. So you got to be able to count 8 age rings around the horn for it to be legal. If you are having to guess or say, well, maybe it is, or isn't, don't shoot that sheep. Do not shoot that sheep. Whether you're a resident in Alaska self-guiding, or if there's an inexperienced guide guiding you on a sheep hunt, if he's like, well, it might be 7 or it might be 8, just don't shoot the sheep. Because at that point, it's like, it's better to go home with nothing than shoot an illegal lamb. Get that taken away anyways, and then have a crap ton of paperwork to do because you did something illegal.
Yeah.
So it's either for sure legal, or let's not shoot it. So...
So, are you familiar with Greg McHale?
I'm not, no.
Okay, he's another Alaska guy. You're from Alaska, don't you know?
It's so small, everyone knows everybody.
Yeah, he's a big sheep guy, and we've talked a lot about that. But so, say, if somebody was coming out for a doll sheep hunt, for example, or whatever it is in Alaska, what are maybe some things you wish more people knew or were more prepared for, like, as a guide? What are some of the things you see that people just aren't ready for?
Yep. Strengthen their ankles. So there can be a guy that's in phenomenal shape, and there can be a guy that's not in so good shape. But most of the time, the common denominator is that they don't have strong ankles side to side wise. It's easy to strengthen them parallel, as in a running motion.
Front back, kind of a, yeah.
Yep, but on side to side, when you're in the mountains, unless if you're like out in the backcountry side hilling, even if you're doing some trail running, you really don't get the same effect as, okay, I'm in a pair of mountain boots, and I'm going to use the edge of that boot as a knife to cut into the side of the mountain, and I'm going to cruise just like the sheep does to get to the sheep. So doing, like, balance ball exercises, getting on, like, the, I don't know what they call it, but it's like that half ball. It's got the hard plastic side.
Yeah, the Bozu ball, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah. So getting on something like that, and again, assault with your doctor before doing this. But try to get that side-to-side ankle strengthened up. You really got to build that up, because if you don't, I've seen a lot of guys, like, walk like this floppy ankles, and that's just asking for an injury. So just, like, really get that strengthened up, get on that ball, do toe raises, whatever you got to do.
Okay. Anything else that you think guys should, like a guy that's coming out, he's going to do his first Alaska hunt, that he should prepare for or keep in mind?
Practice shooting in more positions other than on a rest. You have several guys will come out, I can shoot 1,000 yards. You're like, okay, yeah. Well, A, we're not going to let you shoot 1,000 yards. B, I'm not buying it because you're probably shooting off a lead sled. Be able to handle your rifle in different positions. So, like, from the prone, obviously that's what everyone's goal is, off the pack. But be able to shoot sitting up if need be. Be able to shoot standing. I don't see a situation on taking a standing shot on a doll sheep, but on a moose, there's a lot of times when you got to take a standing shot. So, and sometimes, like, very rarely, but sometimes it's like, that's the bull, shoot him. You don't have 2 minutes to fidget with your shooting sticks to get him perfect. It's like, practice drawing up. A tip I like to give people is put a dot on your wall, pick a dot on your wall, pick a picture frame, and freehand pull your rifle up, make sure it's unloaded, nothing in the tube, maybe even take your bolt out if you're worried about it. Hold up, let your arrow out, and put those crosshairs on whatever that dot is, and start out with the big dot, and as that crosshair starts to shift off that dot, let down, breathe, take a minute break, however long, before you get back, you know, your muscles have recovered, bring it back up, hold it on the dot, as soon as it starts shifting off that dot, let down, and do that every night for freaking 2 months before you come on that hunt, and at the end of that 2 months, you'd be surprised how long you can hold solid on that dot and how, like, in the middle, and you can even shrink that dot or whatever you're aiming at down smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're going to be able to tack drive at 100 yards if you do that every night.
Nice. So we almost forgot to loop back around to that bear story.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm bear hunting. This is this past spring, 2021 spring. I'm cruising down, and you know how when you get in the mountains, how, like, just there's those humps. Well, just on the other side of that hump, it could be freaking 400 or 500 yards, but you can't really see what's going on over there. So I'm cruising through. I'm going to go check this peak and look off of it and see if it's worth hiking all the way over there. So the client's a few hundred yards back behind me. I'm cruising down, and then I hear a rock tumble. I'm like, oh, crap. I pull up my rifle. I chamber one. And I'm looking, and then here comes two big caribou and one little caribou, like a little calf, just cruising by me about 10 yards away, looking at me like, you are about to get fucked up. And then they're gone. So I'm like, oh, crap. So I'm only about 10 yards from that blind spot, roughly. So I start to like take a back pedal step. I don't turn because I whatever is chasing those caribou, because they don't usually take off on a full sprint. They'll trot around a lot, but the full sprint, like bat out of hell.
Something spooked them.
Something's chasing them. Yeah, something's going. So I start the back, because you know whatever they came from, something's coming. So don't turn your back to it. So I start the backslide, just like if you were a boxer and like a fighter was coming at you, you taking that same step type of deal. And all of a sudden, here comes this brown bear. Boop, boop, right where the caribou came out. And at this point, I've gotten back another 10 yards or so before I can kind of hear the rocks crumble back. So I know it's about to pop up. I crouch down because I'm hoping it just kind of stays on that path at the caribou.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It stops, and it turns straight to me. It starts running. So I stand up, and hey, bear, like just yelling. I'm not going to yell. Like I was yelling. Hey, bear. And at this point, he's about 20 yards, 25 yards away, and he stopped. He's looking, and he's got his head down. If the head's up, that's good, because that's, like, curious. Like, what is this? Head down, that's the running position. Like, he's thinking,
ready to come after you.
He's ready to go. Well, I'm videoing this with my phone, because after the caribou disappeared, I'm like, something's about to happen, and I'm going to see if I can get this, because I'm expecting a bluff charge, and then the bluff charge, I yell at it, it flips around, because you usually do that. That's not the case. So I'm videoing it, and next thing you see, it's weight shift, and you see this, and that's it coming. And I'm like, don't you fucking do it, man. Don't you fucking do it. And then about 10 yards, I bring the gun up, and looking back, I probably should have put the round through his pumpkin, but I didn't want to. In Alaska, when you shoot one, it's called DLP, Defense of Life and Property, and there was some paperwork involved. It would have messed the guy. At this point, the guy had like 2 days left to hunt. It would have took up those 2 days dealing with the fishing game, which, you know, that's what you do. If you have to dispatch one, you call it in the fishing game, you do everything legal, so it messed up the hunt. So I, on its head, I pull down, boom, I blow the rock right up in front of its face, so all that like stuff throws up in its nose. Luckily, it kind of does like a roll spin kind of and flips around and takes off, and it's gone. So that situation was avoided. I'm glad it worked out the way it was, because the next shot would have been like at my feet or grip onto the rifle, because a lot of times they would run through you, and then the biggest thing is like holding on to that rifle, because they would run through you and then they will start them all type of a deal, because they full speed running, they just can't stop on the dime, so they hit you, and at that point your main thing is just like make sure you tuck your chin and have a hold of your rifle. Thank God I don't know this from experience. It's just logic and talking with people. Hey, what is it like when you get attacked by a bear? So it's like, this is what I'm going to do if this happens. So luckily it flips around, and that experience didn't happen. Looking back, I mean, 10 yards, when I pulled that trigger, those bears, I mean, less than a second, he's on top of you. So, next time, if that situation happens again, I'm probably just putting it through his pumpkin, because that one wasn't a bluff charge. I can't even count on my hands and toes how many times, you know, you have the bear and you run a few steps and stop. A few steps and stop. Or does the guttural growl or snap his jaws, whatever he's doing that given time. This was not the case. He was in that kill mode. He was like, that's a slow caribou standing there. I'm going to eat him. And that's
the runt caribou. That one, it doesn't even have any antlers.
Nope, and it don't move very fast. So I'm going to eat him today.
Oh, man. So do you get much time in to hunt for yourself? Or are you guiding most of the time?
Not a ton. Going forward, I'm going to start taking more time to hunt for myself. But so I'm 24, and since I've started this, it's like guy to hunt or hustle so I can start to get ahead. So I've been hustling a lot to get ahead. And now that I'm in somewhat of a position to take a little bit of time off for myself, I'll start doing so. But before, it was like, okay, I gotta get ahead.
So. Nice. So what's your, I know you like guiding the doll sheep and stuff like that. What would you hunt every single year if you could?
Brown bear with a bow or doll sheep with a bow.
Yeah?
Both of them.
I couldn't imagine doing the doll sheep with a bow. Like, that's one thing. Like, I'm always the guy, like, I want to try it with my bow first. But, like, just the... I mean, I remember hunting Audad Barbary sheep down in New Mexico, and just I mean, it's a very different climate, but it's similar styles of terrain. It's mountainous, it's steep, you know, lots of canyons, lots of, you know, lots of climbing. And I just can't imagine getting in close enough on one of those to get it with my bow. Like, that's just wild to me.
It's a feat. Like, that's why very few people do it. Now, I'm going to do my first one with a rifle, and I recommend everyone to probably do their first one with a rifle. Now, that's your prerogative. If you're like, no, bow only, that's your call. But I would really like to sneak up in there and accomplish that feat, and accomplish it like with a cameraman would be super cool. So it's like double difficulty. So that's something I'm going to do before too long.
So if somebody's coming up to Alaska, is there, you know, I know a lot of time, like, somebody will want to make the most of their trip and hunt multiple animals up there. Like, what's what would be like a good Alaska trip in your mind if somebody wanted to come hunt Alaska for the first time?
Like, yeah, for the first time, like as an icebreaker, or just like your one and done trip, try to do as much as you can.
I'm like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to hunt Alaska once. I want to knock it out, put together a good trip, you know, get a few animals and get the full Alaska experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a general statement because I think there's a lot that factors into that. I would say come up through the brooks, do a grizzly bear, do a caribou, and do a doll sheep. You need to pick a priority animal, and that's the one you need to focus in because, animals live in different spots, and you won't be able to do all of them at the exact same time. So it's like figuring out which one. So maybe instead of doing the Brooks range, maybe you want to do a moose really bad and a mountain goat and a brown bear. Well, that is down on the coast. So you want to plan a hunt on the coast then instead of up in the Brooks. So it's kind of like figure out what you want and then pick an animal, the target. And then after you get that target animal, you know, obviously if one comes traipsing by, like, oh, there's a brown bear while I'm moose hunting, let's shoot it now and get it out of the way. You can go ahead and do that. So it's all about what the individual wants. So.
Awesome, man. People wanted to find you online, find the TV show, find all of that stuff. Where are they looking?
Yeah, so you can just pop on Google and type in my name, Caleb, C-A-L-E-B. STILLINS. And also, so me and some business partners, we decided I have a problem with like Instagram and Facebook, and a lot of the companies I work with have a problem with getting shadow banned. So you can also, we decided, we were like, well, shoot, are we going to keep complaining about people joking us around, or are we going to build our own social media? So we built Jakt, J-A-K-T, and it's a social media platform for the outdoor industry. You can also, like, look me up on there. You'll find a lot more different content on there as
okay,
well.
And so what's the, is that J-A-X-T?
J-A-K-T.
J-A-K-T, and is it just Jakt.com?
Jakt.com, yep.
Okay,
yep,
I'll make sure to link to that on the show notes page. So this is, I always kind of like to end this way. Say, you know, you're at a show, whatever, maybe, you know, we got SCI going on.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you run into somebody outside of SCI. He's like, oh, what's going on? And you're like, oh, it's a hunting, you know, it's a hunting show, da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I've always wanted to go hunting. It's always sounds so cool, but like I grew up in the city. I don't know anyone that hunts. I don't know. There's way too much to learn. It's really intimidating. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. What like advice would you give someone like that, or like, you know, encouragement would you give somebody that's a little overwhelmed by it all?
Mm-hmm. We all start somewhere, so it's like picking a start. So if you outside of the industry, don't start with, okay, I'm gonna go to Alaska and hunt. Like, okay, I'm gonna go pick up a bow and I'm gonna learn how to shoot a bow. I'm gonna go to the gun range and shoot a gun. It's like everyone's a beginner at some point in time. So it's flipping the switch and making the choice. Like, okay, I'm gonna start. So make yourself a roadmap. Maybe it's 2 years before you actually go kill an animal, before you decide, okay, I want to go hunting. Because the mountain looks super scary and hard to climb when you're at the bottom looking at the top, but it's not so bad if you pick a rock, and then you go to that rock, and you pick another rock, and you go to that rock, and you just walk your way up. So that's what I would tell someone that's a little intimidated. It's like, Just hop in here. The hunting industry is super cool. Everyone, I've met very few assholes in the hunting industry. So just go ask somebody if you need some advice or if you need some help.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's amazing the community. I mean, just the fact that we met is a testament to that, because it's like I found out about Laura Zara through several other friends of mine in the hunting industry, and had her on the podcast, and then through her I got into the knife making stuff and met Jeff over at Vegas Forge, and got to give him some love for the awesome, letting us play with all the cool toys yesterday.
Oh, heck yeah.
And, you know, then I was here in town and came to visit him, and met Kayla and you, and it's just wild, like, how that stuff happens and down the line, and here we are having a couple of drinks and recording a podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like the world is so tiny, and it's just about getting out there and talking with people, and you never know what dots you can connect.
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, I appreciate you taking time, sitting down, and laying one down for us.
No, thank you for having me. I hope everyone enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing them around and rise up and get after it.
Heck, yeah. All right, y'all, that'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. That'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher, and head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from The Wild Initiative family, and more.